Indeed, the sun shines in our lives. There was a little girl and she was scared of the dark. She went into her parents' room and she told her mother that she was afraid. Mum said, "It's okay, sweetheart. There's nothing to be afraid of. God is in there with you." So the little girl went back to her bed and she climbed into her bed and she said, "God, if you are in here, don't say a word because you'll scare me to death." Fear. Fear can be debilitating. Fear can be paralyzing. Fear can consume us. Wonder, could you imagine going home after church today and find that during this time that you've been here, that an earthquake has occurred, and as you drive home you see house after house utterly demolished, lying in rubble. As you round the corner into your street, you see your home laying in ruins, and a fire has started and the fire brigade are trying to put it out. There'd be grief, but there'd also be fear. Where do I start? What am I supposed to do now? As we read the beginning of Psalm 46, this is what we see. "Though the earth give way, though the mountains have been moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling," David says, "we will not fear. Even though we have lost everything, you, God, are our refuge and our strength, our very present help in trouble." The psalm begins, "You, God, are our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble. We will not fear." Even though the earth gives way, the mountains have moved into the heart of the sea. As David lies in his bed at night, he longs to hear the voice of God. For the voice of God always brings life. And he trusts completely in his God. And for each one of us, our world can collapse in all kinds of ways. Collapse in an instant. And fear can hold us captive and inept. And in our reading today, Paul has something to say about that. We're looking at the first few verses from 2 Timothy. First 8 verses from 1 Timothy chapter 1. And Timothy was in a sense like a son to Paul. Paul is writing to his son in the faith. He says in verse 2, "To Timothy, my dear son, my beloved child." He's so proud of Timothy, and they've shared a healthy father-son relationship. And it would appear that Timothy has wept over their separation. Timothy longs to be with Paul. And you can hear the love that expressed from a spiritual father for his son in verses 3 and 4. "I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day, as I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy." Paul longs to see his son in the faith, Timothy. He longs to be with him again. He misses Timothy. And he says, "I'm always praying for you." Now, with Paul in prison, and he has a very strong sense that his life is drawing to an inevitable close, and I didn't share with Nathan what I was thinking about this morning, but Nathan shares about Paul's death, that Paul shares with Timothy again his story, and Timothy's not ignorant to Paul's story. When Paul was on his first missionary journey, he passed through the city of Lystra, which just happened to be Timothy's hometown. He became familiar with Timothy and his family, and as a result, Timothy became Paul's travelling companion on his missionary journey. Yet Paul shares his story, the gospel, the grace of the gospel once again, and in the context of doing so, he offers a little bit of advice in verse 8. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Timothy was now the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Even though he was a little timid and fearful to share his own story, he was the pastor at Ephesus. You see, even the great characters of the Bible have their foibles. And there was grace for them, there is grace for us. But I believe the Apostle Paul gives us a clue as to Timothy's hesitancy in verses 6 and 7. He says, "This is why I remind you to fan into the flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." Timothy was afraid. But Paul reminds Timothy that the power and the presence of God can overcome any fear in our lives, that we shouldn't let fear hold us captive. Paul says to Timothy, don't let fear hold you captive. Now, I've not done the count myself, but I've read that the command from God to fear not appears in one form or another 365 times in his word. He says, fear not or do not be afraid. It's given to dozens of different individuals or groups in all manner of situations. And so you could say that God's word, fear not, there is a fear not for every day of the year for you. Whatever you're facing, God says, fear not. Do not be afraid. In fact, he says this in his word to us, fear not, for I am with you. I am with you, says God. Fear not, for I will provide all your needs. Fear not, for I am your Redeemer. Fear not, for my Spirit remains with you. Jesus said in Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not. The Father wants to give you the kingdom. Fear not, for I will bless you. I love you and have called you by name. You see, for Timothy, even though he was the pastor of the church, fear and timidity were hovering over him. And Paul says to him in verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But share in the suffering for the gospel. Share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Fear often keeps us from sharing our story. We fear rejection. Someone may reject us if we were to share our faith story with them. We fear a lack of knowledge or the wisdom to be able to answer their questions or their objections. We fear that we don't know how to share. And this might have been Timothy's trouble too. Timothy was a young man, though he wasn't a teenager. And Paul, in his first letter to Timothy, reminds him not to let anyone look down upon him, to think less of him, because he was young. Fear can prevent us from being open about sharing our faith with others. But other fear factors may prevent our witness as well. If you've just received the diagnosis that you have inoperable cancer and the prognosis is not good, the fear of suffering may be all that you think about, becomes all-consuming. If you've just lost your job, you have a large mortgage, bills to pay, kids to feed, the fear of no income can be all-consuming. We fear suffering. And we're fearful because we don't want to suffer. But Paul says, share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Paul himself was suffering. And he says, share in the same suffering. By the power of God, you can share in it. At the moment, we live in a society that is dominated by fear. Fear of COVID and fear of the vaccines. In the space of 2 weeks, Queensland went from very few cases of COVID to over 8,000 active cases. What took 3 months initially in 2020 for all of Australia to achieve, for want of a better word, occurred in just 2 weeks here in Australia. Sorry, here in Queensland. As of last Thursday, we had over 42,000 active cases in Queensland. I just checked the figures just before. Yesterday, 63,000 active cases in Queensland. And we've been told that by mid-February, everyone is likely to have the virus. Fear of the virus, or another devastating variant, fear of the vaccine, fear of losing our freedoms, fear of losing a loved one. Fear is rampant. And the devil, the devil is loving it. The devil couldn't be happier. Whether it's COVID, whether it's cancer, whether it's financial ruin, whether it's being taken over by China, whether it's nuclear warheads pointing towards us, whether it's the loss of a loved one, fear of being alone, fear can render us powerless when it comes to sharing our faith in God. We're no longer a powerful searchlight that can be seen from far away, but a flickering candle almost snuffed out. Because of fear. And if peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit and we're not at peace, we're drowning in fear, then something's wrong. Something's wrong with our relationship with God. Because fear is a lack of faith in God. Fear is questioning God's love for us. Fear is questioning that God is in fact in control and does have our best interests at heart. Fear leads us to trust in ourselves more than we want to trust in God. Fear robs us of peace. It creates anxiety, misery, a sense of hopelessness, depression, despair. Fear can lead us into a cycle of ever-growing darkness. And the consequence, of course, is an ineffective witness. Fear renders our witness powerless. And so Paul reminds Timothy of his sincere faith, a genuine faith. Come back to verses 5 and 6. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Timothy had a godly heritage that had laid a wonderful foundation for him. He had Paul as his spiritual mentor, as his spiritual dad. And he had received spiritual gifts from God. He has a genuine faith, a sincere faith, as he too has chosen Jesus to be his Lord and his Master. And Paul likens his genuine faith and his spiritual gifts given to him by God to be like a fire that needs to be rekindled. How do you fan into flame? Well, you feed it. You feed it. For many of you, as you look back over your life, you too may see a godly inheritance. A godly inheritance or a heritage that has laid a foundation of faith for you. You might too recognise certain people who have been like a spiritual mentor for you. Maybe even a small group that has been vital in your spiritual growth and development. You might recall a friend or a pastor who God has spoken through to you. But Paul says to Timothy, now, Timothy, you must keep this flame a-burning. How do you fan into flame the faith that God has planted within you? Will you feed it? You feed it. Unlike the little girl who is afraid of the dark and unknown voices, how do you feed your faith in God? By spending time with him in prayer and by meditating upon his word. Share with God all of your hopes and dreams, all of your fears and concerns. Give him time to speak into your heart, into your mind, and trust him to lead. Trust him to comfort. Trust him to encourage you. Meditate on his word. Let him speak through it to you. And God knows just what to say for you. You can't have a sound mind if you're fearful of things or people. But if you're living by the Spirit of God, you will know power, love, and self-discipline. Coming back to verse 8, to know power, love, and self-control in your life. Fear robs us of power, love, and self-control. Fear robs us of the power to live victoriously and to share the gospel. Fear squashes that. Fear is self and inward focus, and it robs us of our love that we need to express to one another. Fear robs us of self-control because what we do is we're driven by and we react according to our fears. And so we tend not to be in control, but fear controls us. But if we're fanning into flame, we're feeding our relationship with the Lord through prayer and meditation in his word, if we're allowing him to speak life and lead us by his spirit, then we'll live in power, love, and self-discipline. As Kate reminded us last week, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A reverence or a holy or a healthy posture toward the Lord, as we are found bowing at the feet of the Lord, there is the foundation for godly wisdom. For it is there. It is there at the feet of the Lord that we place our worldly troubles, our fears, our concerns, and we trust him with them. He says, fear not, for I am with you. Do you really know that the Lord is with you? If you do, then fear not. Fear not, for I will bless you. I love you. I've called you by name. Fear not, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Under his reign, this is his kingdom. If he's the king, under his reign you may live in power, love, and self-control. So I want to encourage you to be careful to examine your thinking. Recognize fear for what it is. Take every thought captive to the Lord and cultivate prayer with your Father. Your Father who loves you. Turn it all over to him. And you'll receive the peace that only he can give. by seeking him first. And as a result, you'll have an effective witness. Because if we're dominated by fear and we react in fear, then we're no different to everybody else in society who are doing just the same. We must demonstrate peace and trust in our Father. We're going to draw our service to a close as we stand to sing.